Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we research teen culture so you can focus on connection. Welcome back. My name is Tobin, and I'm here once again with Caleb and Carly, and we have some stuff for you today. We're going to start off with some teen terms because us old people need somebody to tell us what all these things mean, and they change, it seems like, weekly at this point. So yeah. We're going to talk also about social media etiquette because that is always something that everyone needs to hear and learn about. And then we're going to finish off with some talking about silent teens and how to connect with them. So, but first, I'm going to start us off with Tobin's trend and some terms this week. You guys ready? Because this is always makes me feel stupid old. And some of them I know, some of them I super don't. But we're going to start, Carly. I'm going to start with yours. I'm going to kick it off of the bat because I haven't heard of this one, Carly. You wrote the word merchant down, and that is it. That's all it says. So please explain to us what merchant means.
Y'all got in my head now that maybe Josh made this up and is setting me up. And so Josh said this was a thing that Urban Dictionary says it's used to describe someone that does something repeatedly or relies on it. So last episode we talked about comment culture. So maybe if a student just like really relies on those comments, it would be a comment merchant. Or they eat Taco Bell all the time. Hey, that's a Taco Bell merchant.
Taco Bell merchant.
Yeah.
They're a big energy drink person. You're like Red Bull merchant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah. You get my vibe. Or.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like they're a merchant like that. Almost like they collect those things or there's like if you think about old timey, I don't know, merchants that are selling things and have a lot of them on hand, they would be a merchant. But now I'm worried.
That's a weird one.
Check the guy who posted that definition on Urban Dictionary.
We might, yeah. Carly's husband might be gaslighting all of us right now. So we'll see. We'll check that one and report back. The one that I've been hearing the most of these right now is eight. Mm-hmm. Like you ate a piece of cake. Okay. But it's basically used in every single possible scenario, like if you did well on a test, man, you ate that test.
Okay.
Tobin ate that. Yeah.
If hey, Tobin's going off on the podcast, he ate that.
He ate that. Yeah. Just this one again is interesting. But
like you did that.
Yeah. You crushed it.
Yeah, you owned it. Yeah. It's kind of like it's their version of owned it. Like you own that test. Yeah. Like which is something that was around for a while. So
yeah.
It's just a lot weirder, it seems like. So seems like my own teen uses this one a lot lately and I'm just like, what is happening? Like I don't know. No, I did not eat that. No, that's not what it means, Dad. I'm like, it's like, okay. Like, but another one is era is commonly used to describe someone's current interest or priorities. Like I'm in my old man era, or like I'm in my like for instance, whenever I listen to, like, I've noticed that when I listen to music a lot lately, I'm in this era where I'm listening to a bunch of 90s punk music rewritten as folk songs. That is my TikTok. I'm in my 90s folk era.
Okay.
And so that's
Carly's in her merchant era.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, and I think as this is the unofficial Taylor Swift fan podcast, that this is definitely a Taylor Swift thing. I think I even saw a QT billboard the other day that said something about in my snack era. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good. So, and it had like the Eras Tour type art where they had snacks in every box instead of like a pick. So, like, yeah, it's pretty good. So, it's also a marketing thing, I think, too. So, that's definitely what era are you guys in right now? That's a loaded question, probably. But,
well, I went to Disney World with my family recently. And so I'm in my Disney era. We are listening to Disney. We are wearing all the Disney things till. So also mom era. We're very much in a mom era.
Retired era. Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I don't know. That one worked. All right. Yeah, that's the first time that worked. It worked. You got it.
All right. Then another one that I use all the time in texting, because a lot of these things are text generated. But if you see the two letters FR next to each other, that means for real. So like if someone says like that was hard FR, that means that was hard for real. Like You get that? Like, it's an abbreviation.
We need that abbreviated. Those extra five letters or whatever.
Too much. I use it all the time, if I'm being honest. I really do. Like, in texting, that is one I use regularly. So, yeah.
Some people will stack it, FRFR, like, for real, for real. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're feeling really crazy.
Yeah.
But don't go more than two, okay? That's too much.
Yeah.
Two's the limit.
And my favorite one of today's terms is main character energy. So if you're listening, you're like, that sounds really dumb. It kind of is, but it's kind of cool too. Yeah. Main character energy represents someone who exudes confidence, charisma, and embodies the essence of being the protagonist in their own life narrative. So like if you were your own little audiobook and you were owning your life, you were main character energy. So. Mm-hmm.
I think too, like it implies like this like egotistical side too, where it's kind of like you think you are the main character. Like you think everything's about you, right?
So everything revolves around you.
Right? This has been used in a teen life group recently. We had a person in a group, but they weren't doing anything bad, but they were commenting on all the questions and talking in a good way, talking about how they're dealing with things and stuff. And someone said, man, you are in the main character energy today in this group. Like, cause they were, it sounds bad. They were dominating the conversation, but they were also just kind of like being apart. I've had some friend groups that'll be like, if we're doing something that one friend, like if we're following their lead a lot, like they like, we'll be like, oh man, main character energy today out of you, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So that's how it's being used mainly. So lots of teen terms, and yes, by the time this podcast comes out, they will probably all be obsolete. So
for sure,
we'll have some more for you, I'm sure, soon. But something that changes regularly as well is social media. So Carly, why don't we talk about some social media etiquette today?
Right. So I just think this might be timely, especially in the midst of the political landscape that we are wading through. Mm-hmm. So this is helpful for teenagers, but also if you're an adult, maybe this is a word for you too. Because let's be honest, social media can be toxic. It can sometimes be hateful. And so I just kind of wanted to talk about some practices that might be able to bring out some positivity and encouragement for social media, because it should be a fun place. In my mind, it should be fun. It shouldn't be a place where people are getting hated on. And lately, I'm also just seeing a lot of influencers or celebrities who are getting just demolished in comments and death threats and all this stuff. One thing that I just saw this week, which is just wild about social media, is there was a TikTok that this girl was sharing her experience of cleaning a home of an actress. And she goes on and on about how mistreated she was and how awful this actress was. And in the comments, everyone was like, It's Olivia Munn. To where when I'm watching the video, you know how on TikTok it says like search for, and it gives it's like Olivia Munn housekeeper apology. Like it populated that. Well, then come to find out this girl is in Israel. And so Olivia Munn like put out a response and she was like, I feel awful for this girl. I do not live in Israel. I have a regular housekeeper that I pay very well. Like, I hope that she gets justice, but this is not me. But basically, just the whole thing of like, you can make up anything. Yeah. If someone decides in the comments, we're going to trash this person, it could like take down their character for no reason. And so I do think it's worth like talking about what is okay and not okay. Mm-hmm. To post on social media, especially in the comments, going back to last episode talking about comment culture, if you want to listen to that too. But I think the first thing, if you're wanting to post something or comment something or DM someone that is polarizing, excessively negative, maybe you're going to be rude, it might be a good idea to take some time. So maybe think about it overnight and be like, is this still something that I want to post? Or maybe set an hour timer before you make a rash post. I just think, honestly, they probably don't need to hear it. You probably don't need to DM that person and say, I think your hair is really ugly. That's not helpful. And so maybe if you're like being a keyboard goblin, I don't know, if you're like sitting there going like, I'm gonna come after this person. Maybe if you take some time to think about it, you would realize that's actually not helpful and could be a good practice. Going along with that, I think looking for ways to post something kind. So yeah. maybe make it a game mm-hmm. with your teenager of like, hey, we're going to comment or post something positive every day. And if you're looking for ways to do that, you're probably less likely to also post something negative about someone.
Yeah.
But kind of going back to the Olivia Munn thing, just remember that people behind screens are still people. Mm-hmm. And we have to treat them like that. Even if they're a celebrity, mm-hmm. even if they're an influencer and you're kind of like, they're making money off of this so they can take it. They're real people who yeah. have real families and real feelings. And so threats or saying things like, I see stuff all the time that you're ugly. I hope you die. Or even on like news sources, they'll go in and be like, who even is this person? She's the worst person I've ever met. I hate this person. Like, I just don't understand that. It's not cool. You don't get brownie points for that. Yeah.
Like I think too, like that. it's important, like even like as adults, right, that we're kind of setting the tone for everybody else, and mm-hmm. like even if we're being sarcastic in comments, things like that, it's also just so hard to read, right? I mean, right. like that's even just the problem with text. Like even if it is a joke, things like that, the person who just posted this might not be reading it as that, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just think it's important, like regardless of like what it is, for just even like as adults to model like how to interact with each other online. And like, you know, I think this generation is almost more literate in a lot of ways than some of like the adults are, but still just finding ways to use that space as a way for encouragement, not to tear down, is just always a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, I think it's good on social media sometimes to follow things that are different opinions than you, that might challenge mm-hmm. you or push you, but you have the power to unfollow. So if you are seeing things, teenagers, if you're seeing things on Instagram, on TikTok, parents, if you are seeing things on Facebook, might be more where you are, that you disagree with, unfollow them.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to get on and rage about like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Just unfollow them and be like, if this is causing me stress, I don't have to follow them anymore. Yeah. Just a spoiler, you don't have to let them know that you're unfollowing them, because I love it when someone's like, I'm unfollowing you because yeah. I hate what you're having to say. Like, just unfollow them. They don't need to know.
They don't need to know.
No, no one needs to know that you don't like them. And so I just think maybe some helpful reminders as, like I said, we're going into what is probably going to be a very tense year where people are going to be giving political opinions, ethical opinions. They might be wearing or making choices that are different from your own choices, yeah. but we can still be kind on social media and encouraging.
I think my one comment to all of this is it's okay to just not post too.
Yep.
Like mm-hmm. you're not going to, I don't know, this is getting on my own soapbox, yeah. but you're not going to change anybody's opinion from mm-hmm. your multiple paragraph social media post. If you want people to be aware about something, that's one thing. But like, if you're trying to convert anybody on anything, like it's not going to come through social media. It's going to come through a face-to-face yeah. conversation. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just keep that in mind. We talked about comic culture last week too. And like, that's where comic culture comes into, like, we don't have, like, your comments are not going to do anything but tear down. Or if you're agreeing with somebody, it might tear somebody else down because you're agreeing with them, you know? And so right. just keep that in mind. Like, I think hands-off social media, especially during election years, is sometimes more important than being on social media. So,
well, and I think one thing you'll see, too, is people will disagree with it, but they're bringing more attention to it by commenting on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, if you have something negative, say, maybe just stay off and you're not drawing attention.
Right.
But there are times where people will be like, why are you talking about them? Leave them alone. And or like, this is awful. We don't want to hear about this person anymore. But I'm like, you're bringing attention to it, which is getting what they want. They're going to continue to post about that because they're getting right. mm-hmm. lots of interaction. So you negatively commenting sometimes actually does the opposite, because more people will see it because you commented on it. Yeah. And so like Tobin's saying, like if you don't have anything nice to say, maybe just don't say it.
Right now we'll switch from like social media online etiquette to like etiquette in person, right? How to deal with teens who are quiet, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I think especially looking at it through a lens of like maybe being like a small group leader or things like that, or even just a teacher, right? How can we increase or get these teens kind of involved? Maybe even as a parent, like, man, my teen is just kind of quiet, doesn't like to talk to me, might be a universal problem for most parents. So like, how can we get them to interact? What even might be, what do you guys think could be reasons behind the shyness of teens who refuse to talk? I think, like, for me, just off the bat, it's just like social anxiety or mm-hmm. like self-esteem issues, like not wanting to put themselves or say something that could make people mad or view them differently than they already do.
Well, I think in a group setting, sometimes it is very overwhelming of like, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to get made fun of. Like, I would rather sit here and not say anything. Sometimes you might even have like the combative quiet person who's mm-hmm. like, no, I'm not participating in this at all. So maybe they think it's dumb. Maybe they're embarrassed. I do think it's worth noting sometimes, especially in group settings, your quieter students might be doing the most internal reflection. So just because they're not talking doesn't mean that they're not engaged in their own way, but they just might not be speaking differently. And especially if you have a group that has one or two students who are very loud, it's real easy to be like, nah, I'm just going to let them talk mm-hmm. and I'm going to sit back here and I'm going to do my own thing and let them take over from there.
Yeah, I just think that sometimes it's okay that they don't engage and talk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's the most important thing is that there are times and places for that. And I mean, I don't know, like I'm a pretty, I kind of toe the line of being extroverted and introverted in my own personal life. And there are times when I just want to sit back and observe and not be. And then there are times when I can't shut up and want to be the center of attention. You know, it just kind of, I kind of go back and forth. But when I was in middle school, I definitely was I had my one person that I would talk to regularly, but outside of that, I was pretty stayed in the back. And so, like, I think that mindset of we have to make sure that they're not silent is not always the most healthy, but like, mm-hmm. But making sure that they're being heard if they want to be heard is the most important thing.
I think like even talking about ways to get shy or quiet teens like engaged or even maybe to talk, I think, looking at it from like this standpoint of like maybe getting them to be a part, right? Making sure that every opportunity for them to talk, if they want to talk, is there. I know mm-hmm. like in teen life groups, even like in small groups like that, you know, I lead upstairs for my students, it's like building this culture and having norms is what the term teen life uses in their groups, but like building these norms and like mm-hmm. little things like, hey, we're going to make sure that we're all sitting in this group. Like if we're doing small group questions, if we're talking, we're going to make sure everyone is in the circle. Right. And so like, I know, you know, there's problems with like teens, like who don't want to interact, who don't want to talk, will even just like try to find any way to sit off to the side or not engage, even just like where they stand physically. And so even getting them in a circle is huge. I think even just like having the opportunity, if they want to engage, just having it be there. Group questions, like where everyone answers, right? Where you kind of say, okay, we're going to go around and answer to give everyone the opportunity and be like, you can skip if you don't answer it. And then two, this is big too. I think just like building a personal connection, right? Mm-hmm. Even like as an adult leader and building that connection and helping them find their thing. Cause like every student, every person has interests, mm-hmm. things that can get them excited. And so it's about navigating conversations. Like, hey, you watch shows, anything like that, just to hopefully get them talking. And you'll be surprised how a quiet kid, whenever you find the thing that they're mm-hmm. interested in, that they love, you can't get them to shut up. Yeah. And so, you know, even just building that connection beforehand even helps translate to group, right? If you're facilitating it, if you're leading conversations, teaching, and they're comfortable with you, hopefully, you know, that helps translate into them being comfortable to open up and share with everyone else. And then maybe even like you can notice, and like I go back and forth on this too, because you never want to call a student out. Like you never want to single someone out for like not answering, but maybe giving just a broad, does anyone else who maybe hasn't gone have mm-hmm. have something else to add? Mm-hmm. You never, in my opinion, never want to add like, hey, so-and-so, you haven't talked. Do you have anything to add? Just because it brings attention to them. Everyone else is kind of like, you know, yeah, why haven't you talked? You never want to do that, especially to someone who's shy, maybe doesn't want to interact, and they have reasons for that. But giving, I think, just as much opportunity to interact if they want to, right? Does anyone else have anything to add before we move on to the next
question? Yeah, an easy way to do that is, does anybody that I haven't heard from want to add something? Mm-hmm. Like, because then it it stops the people who may be dominating the conversation, but also you're not calling by name, and you're also not saying you have to speak. It says, do you want to, if you haven't spoken yet, and it gives them a quick space, and they may not. So
I think too, like another good tool is like just participation without necessarily questions. I think this is where like good icebreakers or just like activities before you jump into a conversation or small group setting just helps everybody open up and just get comfortable with each other. Yeah. And I mean, and for a lot of people, that's it. Just they're not comfortable with the people that are there.
Two things that teen life, we do really well in teen life is that it's not, we didn't create this obviously, but Fist of Five is an easy way to just gauge the room of how is everybody. And if a nonverbal person that doesn't want to talk gives you a fist of five, like one being, oh, I might need to check on them one-on-one, or I might need to find interventions for them with a counselor or whatever it may be. But also, like, we do life cards in our groups, and it's finding visual images. Like, you don't have to have our life cards to do this. Like, if you're a teacher and you just find like a couple of Getty images of like funny random things, and like, you know, which picture represents how you are today. And I've seen it personally work great in teen life groups whenever they're able to show with a picture of how they're feeling. And then it gives you a chance to just assess without actually having them speak. And the silent teens will appreciate that too, because it'll also it'll also make them realize like you're going and you're making an effort to get their information without forcing them to talk.
Yeah, I think too, a lot of it just kind of builds around a culture of giving as much opportunity as you can to get every student involved. Right, creating norms of whenever you do fist of five, like, hey, everyone, like it's we're all gonna do this. And I think even students that don't want to talk will know, like, all right, if we're all doing this at the same time, right, it's just, you're not singled out, everyone's doing it. But we're at Teen Life, we believe that teens are not a problem to be solved. And so whether that's shy teens that talk way too much, you know, all the in between, they all have something to bring. And you know, at Teen Life, we just believe that they should all be loved. And yeah, we're passionate about it. So make sure you subscribe on YouTube, you like, comment, whatever, wherever you listen. Social media etiquette, podcast etiquette. All right, leave a review. That's
positive, that's only.
Yeah, positive. Yeah. But yeah,
five stars. You can comment on as much as you want. Yes.
But thank you guys for tuning in. Thank y'all for listening. See you next time.